The odds are that during our previous story, the one about the Teamsters' new contract with UPS, an image entered your mind. The image of a brown truck with a distinctive shape and a brown-uniformed driver. UPS is so identified by that design, it's now advertising itself as brown. Its corporate identity is a triumph of design. Design, according to John Heskett, is one of the basic characteristics of what it is to be human, and an essential determinant of the quality of human life. Professor Heskett has written a new book called Toothpicks and Logos. He talked with us from Chicago about design and image, and how the two fit together in everyday life, including corporate life.
There are many ways in which corporations can devise identities to create some cord of memory in the mind of the public. Visual means are clearly one of the most obvious. And the brown image that UPS has devised and has pushed in its advertising is original, it's striking, it's very distinctive. I'd simply make one comment, and this isn't necessarily a reflection upon UPS. That kind of visual image is fine, but it needs to be backed up by what is the essence of any delivery company, which is quality of service.
Because an image can become not only so powerful in the mind's eye, but also so expensive for a company to develop and cultivate, that a company can come to confuse the image with the substance of the company.
Yeah, they think that sinking a lot of money into an image can convince the public that things are actually new.
But there is something intriguing about the UPS truck, which is, it's not exactly a retro design, it's simply a design that never evolved.
There's a great deal of design that hasn't evolved. There's a whole range of tools and implements that everybody has on their desk or in their toolbox that have been around for thousands of years. If something works well, why change it?
Now, on to a very different design challenge. I want you to talk about the two kinds of toothpicks that you write about.
I used the two toothpicks to illustrate a distinction between objects that are based upon a principle of the use value that they deliver, on one hand, and on the other hand, of objects that can take off into other layers of meaning. Mm-hmm. And there's a Norwegian company, Jordan, that produce toothpicks that are minutely designed to enable you to clean between your teeth effectively. And the level of design that's put into these tiny objects is really quite remarkable. But they're purely for that purpose.
These are our flat toothpicks.
Yes.
And then we have the Japanese toothpick.
The Japanese toothpick has a point at one end, and at the other end it's got bevels and grooves. And at first sight, that might seem to be for decorative purposes only. But in actual fact, you can break off the end of the toothpick and use it as a rest, much as in the same sense chopstick rests are used, so that the part of the toothpick or the chopstick that's been in your mouth does not rest upon the surface of tables, which in the old days were often lacquered and, you know, enormously expensive and beautiful pieces of craftsmanship.
Well, what does that say about this very useful and meaningful design in Japan, when the Japanese toothpick travels across the Pacific and we don't break off the end and use it as a rest on the tabletop? Or is it we don't know how to use that toothpick?
We don't know how to use it in terms of the full range of subtlety that's implicit in it. We can use it purely as a toothpick. We can use it on the purely utilitarian basis. But this illustrates a principle that is being very widely discussed in the context of globalization and increasing trade with objects going from one culture to another, because enormous problems are caused by the fact that people do not understand the full implications of objects that are brought in from other cultures, or they may not take account of all the cultural subtleties that the objects will provoke and encounter in another context.
Are there examples of things bigger than the Japanese toothpick that travel in form, perhaps, but not in function in this era of globalization?
A few years ago, Whirlpool decided to try and market washing machines around the world. And they ran up against certain problems that were unexpected. For example, in India, the fact that ladies wore saris that were 30 feet long and tangled in the washing machines was unforeseen. Mm. In Brazil, where there was no tradition of having washing machines, they had in the past always soaked clothes before washing them by hand, and they would not accept a washing machine that did not have a pre-wash soak cycle. I mean, these are just examples of the kinds of difficulties that companies face when they go into other cultures, and they can often be surprised by all the subtleties of the cultural responses that lead to their products not being appropriate and having to be modified.
It's just one other design I'd like you to talk about for a moment that you write about and you have a picture of in your book, and it seems to be at the far other end of the scale from that of the toothpick, and that is the Philippe Starck lemon squeezer. Explain it for us. Describe it to us.
It's a lemon squeezer that is about 10 inches high. It's chrome-plated in the form of a rather spider-like form with the juicer and long legs extending below it.
Yes.
It sells for somewhere in the region of $75 to $80. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work as a juicer very well at all. In fact, I've heard that they're putting a gold-plated version on the market, selling around $200 with a certificate guaranteeing that it doesn't work.
This is as much for the mantle as for the kitchen counter.
It's an icon of good taste. Mm. I mean, if you want to squeeze lemons, you can get a really ideally working little juicer for $4 or $5, or you can simply cut the things open and squeeze them in your hand. You don't have to have this icon. But there's a trend that some people call commodity chic, of which I think this is one of the prime icons. It represents, I think, the transformation of a lot of ordinary, everyday products into somewhat pretentious, rather elitist and expensive and not very efficient.
But this goods. Is what you're up against. If you say design, images like the $80 lemon squeezer come to mind, not mm-hmm. the image of the Japanese toothpick that is designed to be broken off at the end to make a toothpick rest.
Right. But if you get down to the level of necessity, then I think that kind of approach cannot be accepted as the normal design approach. We have to broaden out our concept of what design is to encompass a whole range of other things.
Professor Heskett, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
John Heskett is the author of Toothpicks and Logos, Design in Everyday Life.